Joining me here in the WGN Skyline studios, my good friend, longtime colleague, Ray Long. Ray, part of the investigative team of the Chicago Tribune. And I was joking off air that no holidays.
No holidays. Right. You're at Warren. I'm writing to.
And, well, and we also had on Wednesday, we had Senator Sandoval resigning.
Right.
His seat effective January 1.
Right, 1-2 punches here.
A lot going on. But Ray has been writing a lot about the federal investigations going on with that are, I would say, Mike Madigan related, I guess. And this has been quite a year for Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan, Speaker of the House since 1983. Except for a two-year period, the longest-serving speaker in the nation. And on Friday, one of the, I guess, another fallout from some of the problems that have crept up involving the Me Too movement. Tell us what happened on Friday.
Right. Really late in the day on Friday, I got word that...
nothing happens early on Friday.
Right. The day after Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Or less. I got word that Elena Hampton, who was a person who blew the whistle on one of Madigan's lieutenants back last year and said that he had been texting her inappropriately. It became a high-profile sexual harassment case. The speaker had sought to address a lot of sexual harassment issues, but this case was still hanging over her. She sued, and just last Friday, she settled for $275,000.
Now, and she had claimed she was blackballed from working on campaigns,
right.
And that, again, this was all an issue that was foisted upon her,
right,
by an unwanted advances from a Madigan lieutenant's relative.
Right. The backstory is that Elena Hampton was viewed herself as a protege of Alderman Marty Quinn, and he's the 13th ward handpicked alderman of Mike Madigan, the Southwest Side kingpin, who has been the committeeman of that ward for decades. And she went to Marty Quinn and complained about his brother Kevin Quinn, and at that time the harassment stopped, both Marty Quinn and Elena said, but she thought that Kevin Quinn should have been fired, and this went on for a while. He eventually was ousted after Madigan reviewed the case, and then she still filed a retaliation case because she said that she tried to get some jobs through the Madigan operations and was blackballed.
So we have this settlement of a federal court suit.
Right, right.
But it, as is traditional in settlements, there is no acknowledgement of any wrongdoing.
Exactly, exactly. So she gets $75,000 out of the $275,000. The rest go to her lawyers and the Time's Up legal defense fund. That's the group that has been an outgrowth of the Me Too, national Me Too movement.
And this was... The suit that she filed was against...
This was against four political parties that are controlled by Madigan, the Democratic Party of Illinois, the Democratic Majority, which is for his House, Friends of Michael Madigan, and the 13th Ward, which is what he reigns over. And so they are the ones who settled, and of course, they're all tied to Madigan.
Yeah, they are all four campaign committees that Mike Madigan controls the money.
Exactly.
And that's part of the benefits of being in leadership.
Absolutely.
In the state. Do you think this issue of Me Too and a large growing number of women in the House Democratic Caucus Do you think this issue effectively goes away?
Well, I think it's going to be there for a while, Rick. I think it lingers, and I think it's had some impact already. They've had to address a number of issues. Madigan's met with women throughout his caucus and throughout his staff. I think that there's still pressure on him because there are other developments in this. And one of the things is that we saw that Mike McLean, an ex-lobbyist of ComEd, had orchestrated payments from other current and former ComEd lobbyists to Kevin Quinn after he was ousted by Madigan. So Madigan's people put out a statement saying that if there were people who did participate,
who made payments to Kevin Quinn, we had nothing to do with
exactly.
It.
Now this is this was orchestrated by a guy who was as close to Madigan as anybody, Mike McLean.
Mike McLean being a former Democratic state representative,
right,
turned lobbyist, who was, and even as lobbyist, was perhaps the closest confidant to House Speaker Michael Madigan.
Yeah, even had a piece in organizing some of the fundraising, et cetera. He was a strategist with Mike Madigan. They were meeting and dinner in Springfield, and something that not too many people do with Madigan except for McLean and a small handful of others. So he also, we found emails that backed up this orchestration of the payments to Kevin Quinn, and they were saying very frankly that Kevin, you've got to keep this confidential, because if these guys have who have done quite a sacrifice here for you get caught, then the full blast of the Me Too movement will be upon you.
Well, and so who are the guys that made the payment?
Well, we've got some well-connected lobbyists. We have people like Tom Cullen, who is a political strategist for Madigan since the 1980s at least. He is now a lobbyist for Ameren, another power company, but he was formerly a ComEd lobbyist. And Will Cousineau's firm, Will Cousineau was another political point man for Madigan. And we have also McLean himself, and we have John Bradley, who was a state rep in leadership and a close friend of McLean. And we have Mike Alvarez, who was a Metro Water Reclamation commissioner at one time and now lobbies the City Hall for ComEd.
So you have a ComEd thread and a Madigan thread.
Exactly. And, of course, we still have, as a backdrop of that, ComEd is being investigated by the federal government. Their lobbyist activities are being investigated. These payments that we've talked about have been part of the investigation, we're told by sources. So it is a roiling investigation.
We're speaking with Ray Long, my colleague at the Chicago Tribune, part of the investigative team, who's done a great deal of work in trying to unravel those threads that we were just talking about. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it. Bet your bottom dollar.
Bet your bottom dollar is what we're talking about in Chicago.
Absolutely.
With Ray Long, my Chicago Tribune colleague, part of the investigative team, talking about federal investigations, a federal lawsuit settlement. You know, it just keeps going.
Yeah, this is one very extensive, sprawling, burgeoning, all these words that we've used before on lesser investigations. These are on steroids here. This is really a major sweep.
It wouldn't be right on our final Sunday morning not to take one of our favorite callers.
Absolutely.
Ron, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Hey, good morning to two of my favorites. And, you know, I know this is a long shot, Ray, but is there any possibility that there can be some kind of demand from the Democrats for Mike Madigan to step down from his state leadership post? And, Rick, great 6 years. I'm ready for the next run. Just a great run, man, and just appreciate you. So I'll be listening. I'm ready for the next start. Thanks,
all right, guys. Ron, we'll be looking forward to it. So I think he raises a very interesting question here.
Sure. I think it's legit. We saw last week Senator Iris Martinez, a committeeman herself who's running now for circuit clerk, she called for Madigan to explain these payments that were made to Kevin Quinn that we were just talking about by the lobbyists and friendly lobbyists, or resign. So there are people out there who talk about it in whispers. Few stand up like Iris Martinez did and say something about it, but it is very difficult to overcome all of the levers and switches that Madigan could pull here to keep his power in place.
Well, and as we said, you know, you're looking at over since 1983.
Yeah.
And despite these issues, and you sometimes wonder, we've seen politicians get behind the times.
Right.
I mean, George Ryan, I think, a prime example.
Yeah, Rusty. Yeah.
But Madigan is, you know, the consummate 3D chessboard player.
Absolutely.
But behind the times on Me Too, and you know, that becomes the issue, I think, of the old school of political loyalty versus the new school of political reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a very good analysis.
And I'm curious, where is he now?
Well, I think he is trying to adapt, and he's trying to move into this millennium, right? And he is also doing things like, you know, he hasn't really even had much of a social media presence, and that, of course,
well,
is something.
Don't write anything down, use emails, don't use a cell phone, you know, truly old school as old school can be in this new era of politics.
Exactly. And of course, right now he's probably saying, look, McLean, these emails that you wrote have now come out in the paper, and those are ones that McLean referred to the speaker as himself, and he
I laughed when I saw that, only because you know as well as I do that when himself is termed, we know exactly who he was talking
absolutely
about.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure, it's an Irish expression, Irish Gaelic expression, but it also is one that is rooted in the idea of this is the big man of the house. And so we also saw the emails, just to divert onto that a bit, that McLean wrote that went to campaign fund people who are the political cash guys, and those he called the most trusted of the trusted. And so there were these cutesy phrases, too, that came out in these emails, and that gets to the whole point that Madigan didn't like to see stuff written down.
Let's talk about the recordings.
Yeah. Another thing that we broke, nobody's been able to match yet, Rick, is a story a few weeks ago that Mike McLean, this very close confidant of Mike Madigan, was recorded by the FBI. And so we don't know exactly how long that was going on, but we do know that he talks to everybody. And our sources said it was his cell phone that was wiretapped, and he used to hang out in front of the speaker's office all the time. We don't know that Madigan is on those tapes, because he's famously cautious about talking on the phone or what he says on the phone. But McLean could be a very key cog in this, and the conversations he would have had with his ComEd clients and many of the other lobbyists could really be telling.
One of the things, and I think it's an important fact is, so you have this kind of, you have this investigation going
right.
on. You had the feds raid Martin Sandoval, the
right.
recently resigned state senator
right.
who was Senate Transportation Chairman. You have Representative Arroyo, former representative, who, because of a cooperating witness that our source says is State Senator Terry Link
right.
of Vernon Hills, on a bribe attempt, alleged bribe. What does this do for Democrats going into not only an election year, and granted, Illinois is still going to be blue, you have in November that issue of that graduated rate income tax that
sure.
is the underpins everything that Governor Pritzker wants, yet is perfect fodder for Republicans to say, even before that happened, look at what's going on.
Right. I think that's going to be a drag on Governor Pritzker's tax proposal. And I think that we will see a tax that will say, you know, do you trust these Democrats? And if some federal indictments start rolling down with some big names involved in it, then that will just increase the attacks and give more fodder to the opponents of a tax increase, too.
So much to look forward to in the coming year. Ray Long, my colleague at the Chicago Tribune, part of our great investigative team. Buddy, as always, thanks for joining me.
Great to be here, Rick.